Thank you for downloading this teaching from Freedom Apostolic Resources. It's part of a library that includes audio, video clips, and written resources available at freedomtrust.org.uk/AR. Now here's Mike Parsons.
Right, well, we are going to look at a whole new series. Oops, let me find it. Yep. Following on from the prophetic timetable, those of you who haven't done the prophetic timetable, get the CD or the MP3 or download it. Long version, 16 sessions. Short version, 3 sessions. But God is moving us forward from this place. This morning, what happened in terms of ministry, that is just the start of things that are going to happen because of what God is going to be doing. In the worship this morning, I stepped into the courts in heaven, and as representative of the church here, I stood under the judgment of God and asked God to judge me and judge us so that he can bring healing and restoration and deal with the stumbling blocks and things in our lives. Come under his judgment so that he can judge those chains, those fears, those blockages. And from that, I then went into another court, which is the court of angels, where you get mandates. And I was given a scroll. And as I opened this scroll, I actually saw the whole mandate for transformation over us as a church. It was an awesome sight of valleys coming up, mountains coming down, volcanoes exploding with rivers of fire and lava, all sorts of stuff on it. And what you do when you get a mandate like that, you eat it and you take it inside and into your heart. And as a result of it coming into the heart, then it can be outworked through the life. Now, I've done that on behalf of you guys. Now, that opens us up for that to happen as a church. So we have a mandated thing for transformation. So we looked at this prophetic timetable, and we are in this place of, on this timetable, of gathering and removing stumbling blocks, which means fire. So over the last number of weeks, probably a month or so, there's been an increase of revelation of pictures about fire. Fire coming, fire here, God consuming fire. Fire is the key to transformation. It's a symbolic picture of what happens when God comes to transform. And on Friday night, Mandy brought a word that there were angels here, ninja angels with spears, and that they started to get flames of fire coming over them until this whole place was a canopy of fire. And I actually saw it in the worship time and during the evening. It was like waves of fire were rolling over the top of the roof of this building, and there were all sorts of living creatures of fire. Fiery horses, fiery chariots, fiery swords. There's a lot of fiery creatures in heaven that God is releasing here on the earth, and they're coming to bring transformation, to change our lives. So this whole series will be about transformation. And this week I was looking at this series and I thought, well, maybe I'll do 2 or 3 sessions on it. And as I started to prepare, it's like I got overwhelmed by the level of transformation that God wants to do. And as I never want to teach anything that I've not experienced, I thought, oh my word, I'm going to have to go through a whole load of different levels of transformation just to be able to share some of the things that God's been showing me. Now, because these prophetic books have been opened, and you could say that those books are portals into revelation, into the realms of heaven, to see things firsthand, not just to see things from a second-hand perspective. Those things have been opened. It becomes that there's a progressive prophetic revelation, which means it's not just God says something and it stays there. God says things and then he unveils it and unveils it and gives you further and deeper revelation of it. Deeper levels of revelation and understanding, and therefore deeper levels of transformation. Because God is doing things at a deeper level. And I would guess some of you have found that, and you will find in this process, that some of the things you thought were dealt with, it will all of a sudden come right back to the surface. And it isn't that you haven't dealt with them to a particular level. It's just God is saying he wants to get to the root level of those things and remove the rights of those things to operate in lives. So there's going to be deeper levels of transformation. And it's like having been at preschool. You're in preschool and you get a concept of numbers. I've got a granddaughter. She's about 3, although I think she feels she's 8 or 9, but she's about 3. And she has concepts of numbers. I've got another granddaughter who's 2, who actually sees numbers on things and tells me what they are when we're out walking along. And she doesn't know what they are, but she recognizes they are numbers. So that's one concept. But then you go on to primary school and you get elementary math. You learn to add and take away. 1 + 1 = 2. Now, God is taking us through levels of revelatory understanding. And we've been in preschool and we have an understanding at a certain level and he's moving us on to primary school level. You might think that some of the things that we are seeing are quite advanced. They're not really advanced when it comes to what is to come because they're secondary school. When you start to learn about equations and geometry and all that horrible stuff. It's horrible, isn't it? I hated it. Absolutely hated it. Because I saw no purpose for it whatsoever. It was just theoretical nonsense as far as I was concerned. And I did as little as I possibly could to pass maths. Because I hated it. But then, when you go on to university level, you apply things. And then all of a sudden, I started doing chemistry and biochemistry. And I needed to understand certain things in maths to enable me to do things at that level. I couldn't do them. So I suddenly discovered I wish I did a bit more elementary and primary school and secondary school maths. Because I was then faced with, I've got all these things and I didn't bother to find out how to do things. So I had a crash course. But actually when I understood why I needed to do them, it was actually easier to do it. Because there was a purpose in it. You know, I hate doing theoretical things. I want to do practical things. So in what God is doing and in the whole thing of transformation, he is going to take us through different levels of prophetic revelation so that we start to apply the fullness of the things God's got for our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. See, it's a process. One degree of transformation of coming into the image of Christ to another. So it goes on. Progressive levels to bring maturity. Progressive levels of responsibility and authority. You see, the more revelation you get given, the more you're responsible to outwork. So the more God shows you revelation of things, he wants you to use that, not just have it as head knowledge. Because head knowledge is religious nonsense. And so much of what we've been given in the past has been just knowledge for the head. We've got to practice. We've got to use that knowledge and outwork it. See, we have to go from being a servant to a bond servant to a steward to a friend. There's a process that God takes us through. And it's okay to be a servant who God just says, will you do this for me? And we say, yes. Or sometimes, no. But bond servants are servants who've said, I do not want to go free. I am not going to say no to my master. And when we become a bond servant, God starts to give us responsibilities that are stewardship. So we become a steward of the things of God. Now then God takes us from stewardship into friendship and he starts to reveal himself, shows us why he wants things done, reveals his heart to us. And all this is a process of transformation. Because then it goes on to being a lord, a king, and a son. And those are only operating in the realms of the heavenly realms in heaven. And where God is taking us into lordship, to bring authority into certain areas, into kingship, to make... I can't go into this, I'm going to stop now, because otherwise I'll be going down another train of thought. But that's what the process will be about. So we're in a season of preparing us for holiness. Season to remove stumbling blocks from our lives. A season to prepare us to cross the threshold of the presence of God into the glory realm of God. And that is a whole different ballgame. And that's why we need holiness in our lives, to be able to stand in the presence of the glory of God and not just his tangible presence. Now, I'd encourage you, do not resist this process. Embrace the process of being transformed. Because if you resist it, you may end up in a place you don't want to be. And God wants you to embrace it so he can take you to the place he wants you to be. Change from glory to ever-increasing glory. He takes you to increasing measures of glory in your lives. Now, I want to share some of the prophetic stuff I shared at the very beginning of the year to give you a context for why we're in this place. And this is what God gave me to prophesy. It says, it's time to pray that the lid comes off and to call forth my angels who are waiting to start gathering and removing stumbling blocks, both within and without. And this year for some has been a major thing of where lids have been coming off things, because God has been wanting to do this work. Holiness fire is coming. The highway of holiness has been prepared. It's time to walk in the river of fire. You've walked over it, felt its heat, but now it's time to be baptized in fire. The heat will turn idols back into dust that they came from, to be under your feet and not in your heart. Because Satan eats dust. The dust he eats is our sin. And it gives him authority in our lives, and it creates idols that need to go back into that place of dust under our feet and not in our hearts. Call forth the gathering angels. The lids are coming off the sewers. The secret and hidden things of the heart are about to be exposed. And I would say now we're in this place where quite a lot of them have been exposed, and a lot more is going to get exposed. All I ask for is the willingness to submit to the fire that will refine, purify, and prepare you for true holiness. I am about to restore your souls like you have never known, and lead you on the paths of righteousness like you have never known. I'm going to prune the church. I'm going to cut off branches that are producing no fruit. I'm going to remove stumbling blocks to true kingdom government. I'm going to close the access doors that the enemy has had. Some have already been removed. I am looking for those who are willing to be pruned in the unproductive areas of their lives and in their desires and their priorities. This is the year for the angels and the angelic realm to be revealed to you as a church. The seraphim are coming in force, and the Kashmelium are already released, and breakthrough angels have their assignments. And we've seen that over the year. You must embrace the angels that gather and the hunter angels you must send out to accompany you into the highways and byways. Because what goes on is not to stay in the church. It's to go out. And you are the church in the community, in your workplaces, in your homes, your streets, wherever you are. And you need the angelic canopy to go with you. Behold, for those who embrace this, it will be a year of change like no other. For those who resist this, their false coverings will be removed and they will be exposed. I have spoken to the fig tree and it is withered and there is nothing to hide behind. Fig leaves are things we use to cover things up. God is going to deal with that. Fall on the rock and great fragrance will be released from the brokenness of your souls. What does it mean to be transformed? Well, that prophetic word at the beginning of the year has started to be fulfilled. How many people feel the lids have come off some things for them this year? Quite a few of you. It's like, actually, that is God. Don't attribute it to the enemy. It's God who's revealing things so he can transform us. That's the process he wants us to be in. What does it mean to be transformed? We're going to look at that. What is the goal of transformation? What should motivate us to undergo transformation? What do you do in order to experience transformation? Some questions that I want to answer. This is a key scripture, Romans 12:1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, that means us, by the mercies of God. Now, I didn't even see that little bit, the mercies of God, before I started looking at this subject, because I moved on to the bit that says, be transformed. But actually, it's by the mercies of God that we can present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. That doesn't mean the physical world. It means the lifestyle of this world, the pattern of this world's actions and activity. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. In other words, your destiny. Now in this scripture, there's lots of different things that we need to get a hand on. Things I put there in yellow. The mercies of God. Being able to present ourselves as living holy sacrifices. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to understand all that. Hence, this may go on for a while. Definition of transformation. The Greek word is metamorpho. Guess what you get from metamorpho? Metamorphosis. That's where we get that word. To change into another form. It's not just surface change. Not just patching up and making it look pretty on the outside. This is being changed into a completely different form. It's used to describe the change of form of like a caterpillar into a butterfly. Or a tadpole into a frog. Transformation is not just a little bit of change. It is completely different. It's what God wants. Transfiguration is the same word. Metamorpho. So what happened to Jesus when he shone with glory on the mountain is transfiguration. It is transformation. It is what God wants to happen to us. So there's a process for that to take place. It's what happens to Christians in their service of God. If we serve God and give our lives to serve him, he changes us on the journey. If we stand around and wait for transformation to take place, nothing much happens. It's on the journey when we surrender to his purposes for our life that transformation takes place. First thing, do not be conformed. It's a Greek word there. Sunphorizo. Formizo, to the world is means don't be patterned or molded by it. So what the word means, conformed, is to be shaped and patterned by the world. And we're told not to be. So we have to look at where we have been shaped and conformed to the world so that we can be changed. And God is going to change those things that have shaped and patterned us. Transformed, transfigured, changed. Conformed into the image of Jesus. So where the world has patterned something, now Jesus is our pattern. He is our mold. He is the thing that we need to be shaped and conformed into that image. But this process of change requires renewal to be restored to original condition. Now that is not the condition before you got saved. It's the condition before you were even born. Adam, before he sinned, to what he would become if he hadn't have sinned. That is our original condition. It's not what we've done as a result of Adam's sin. It's actually to go beyond that, back to the place where Adam would have been transformed. You see, Adam was sinless, but he was not perfect. If he was perfect, he wouldn't have sinned. So God wants to perfect us and transform us into what Adam would have become, which is some awesome stuff there. By the renewing of the mind. That's the conscious mind, the brain, the subconscious mind, the heart, and the unconscious mind, the gut. And the body has three areas where there are neurons in the cells which enable things to be remembered and where things are stored, and we need to see all of them renewed. And we'll be looking at that in more detail. Renewed, the Greek word is ananiou, which means to be renovated by an inward reformation or restoration. It's complete change and restoration back to the original. And now it is a transitional and continuative process. It doesn't just happen once by someone laying hands on you. It happens in a process of change. And it has to go on changing and changing from one degree of glory to another. To undergo, and this is a sort of a definition I found, and undergo a complete change which will be expressed in character and conduct. There's no point having change if it doesn't actually change how we live, what we do, who we are. Because who we are needs to be transformed into the image of Jesus. Transformation is something we submit to, we allow to be done to us. It's not something that we can do in our own strength. Because if we try and do it in our own power, we'll be trying to do it from the outside in and just change the surface things. We have to do it from the inside out to allow God in, like we were singing this morning. Open up your heart and let me in. That's what God has been saying for a long time. Now our response to that needs to be, I open up my heart and I let you in. so you can change me from the inside out. I just need to surrender to the process and cooperate with God in it, not come up with a plan that I'm going to try and do in my own strength. So we submit to God's power, and it's by His grace, His supernatural divine ability, that we can be transformed, that we're changed into another form. Literally, we become a new creation. We need to see the reality of what that is. Because actually, most of us know that in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, says, oh, we will become new creations. And actually, because none of us actually become really new creations, we all struggle with, oh, it didn't really work. Now, the reality is we need to understand what that means so that it can actually really work. What is the goal of transformation? To become like the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I put His full title there, because each of those names has an expression that we need to become like. Lord, Jesus, Christ, Son of God, they are actually different representations of who He is. We need to understand all of them if we're going to become like Him. Romans 8:29. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. This has always been the eternal purpose of God, that we would be like His Son, that He would have many sons. 2 Corinthians 3:18 describes the process. But we all, with unveiled face, in other words, now we can see God and enter into His presence, look in a mirror and we see the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. It's a process of transformation into that image. That's the goal. To live like Christ, who came to serve. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He came as a servant king. So the process to be like Christ, to live like Him, is to come and serve. To present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's what it is to serve. To do the things that Jesus did and greater things. John 14:12, we know that scripture really well. We need to start doing those things because we've been transformed into the image of Jesus. The mercies of God, Romans 12:1. The mercies of God, what are they? Well, I haven't got time to go into them and teach you them, but I'm going to give you some verses that you can look at yourself, because it's these mercies of God that motivates us and empowers us. The mercies of God are new every morning. Really important you get hold of that. There is always enough for you to deal with what is there in your day. The only reason you won't have enough is if you're looking backwards and you use it up on yesterday and the past, or you're looking forward in worry and anxiety of what will happen and you use it up in that way. There will be enough for you to deal with everything that's going to happen to you today, because those mercies are new every day. What are the mercies of God? Freedom from sin. Romans 6:16-18. The gift of eternal life, Romans 6:23. Peace with God, Romans 5:1. The grace of God, Romans 5:2. Salvation from wrath, Romans 5:9. The gift of repentance, Romans 2:4-5. Now, each one of those could be a separate subject, and I don't want to be here till 3 or 4 years' time, so I'm going to encourage you to look up those things yourself. See what the mercies of God are and embrace them. And see, they're fresh for me every day. Every day I can get up and be free from sin. Every day I can live in the eternal gift of life, have peace with God, all those things, really good things. What else motivates us for transformation? The love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ motivates us, having concluded this, that one died for all, Jesus died for us on the cross, therefore all have died to that old way of life with Him. Powerful understanding. He died for all so that they who live, that's us, might no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died and rose again on our behalf. It's like, that's why we need to do this, because of God's love. He loves us, and He wants us to see that His demonstration of love in giving Jesus should be what we do in giving our lives back to Him. Galatians 2:20. And this is another illustration of the process of transformation. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Therefore, I need to love him and give myself up for him. That is because that motivates me from the love of God given to me, that I need to love him in return. What do we do to be transformed? Present ourselves daily and actively in surrender as a living sacrifice. That's how we get transformed. We give our life and say, God, change me. Every day. Because Jesus said we need to do it every day, because every day is an opportunity for transformation. Every day is an opportunity to overcome something, to learn, to grow, to mature, to change. Luke 9:23, Jesus saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. If we surrender, we get new life, his life. Transformed. Spirit, soul, and body. Not just the spirit, but soul and body in transformation. And we're going to look at how that works. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So our first step is the transformation of our spirit in rebirth. And if you don't know Jesus today, you have an opportunity to meet with him and have your spirit reborn, so you can be born of the spirit and therefore engage in the spiritual realms and in relationship with God. Titus 3:5, it says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds. We can't do anything good enough to save ourselves. And even when we try, they aren't good enough. But according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, we need a process to wash and regenerate our spirit and renew it through the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And we need to be living in this every day, because this is a daily thing. Old things pass away, new things come. And there's opportunities every day. Every time you get a reaction to a situation in your day, you have an opportunity to overcome and to grow and to mature. It's really important we realize this. 1 Corinthians 6:17. I find this verse extremely challenging and extremely exciting. It says, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. And we're going to learn what it is to become one spirit and joined with God. Spirit, soul, and body back into its right order, the order that Adam was created, with spirit enveloping his soul and his body in that way. We have to deal with the soul and the flesh. That's the heart. Our conscience, imagination, reason, our mind, times three, emotions, will, and choice. The motives, the desires, the attitude, the mindsets, the belief systems, the familiar spirit, the patterns of sin, the trading systems, the idols, the stumbling blocks, and the entanglement that are in our heart. We have to deal with them and get them cleansed and changed. All the hurts, the pains, the rejections, the fears, the inadequacies, the inferiorities, the disappointments, etc., 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 on and on and on. All those things God wants to restore, change, and free us from. Our bloodlines, the sins of the fathers, a record of the things which is within us, in our hearts, needs cleansing and changing. That picture I've given you before, that is a key way of understanding, looking at your reactions and actions and responses and seeing where do they come from. And there's a process, and I will look at that again. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Three things there, three equals government. Those things bring government to our life. And if we're operating in the soul has government. If we're operating in different things, they have government. So we need to deal with those things in our lives. We will be looking at how to deal with them. So we'll be looking at sin, transgression, and iniquity. Three things as authority in our lives. The motives of our heart. We're going to look at the seven trading floors of negative motives. We're going to look at the role of seraphim, angels, in cleansing. Isaiah 6:7. So seraphim, he touched my mouth with the coal and said, behold, this has touched your lips and your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. And it's something we need to get hold of, the difference between iniquity, sin and transgression, how to deal with it. Dividing soul from spirit. Familiar spirit deliverance. Dividing joints, bone and marrow. Bloodline cleansing, generational cleansing, iniquity removal, judging the thoughts. We're going to look at all those things. So you've got lots to look forward to. This is how it works. Basically, when we're born, we have a soul and a heart which has natural and generational needs, and the only way we can get those needs met is through the body, the flesh, and the world around us, because we're dead, separated from God and His Spirit. So what happens is we look to the world for love, acceptance, security, significance, and purpose through work, relationships, money, power, things, material stuff. That damages us in our heart. And it causes us to have hurt, pain, rejection, insecurity, fear, disappointment, guilt, shame, etc., which we've all got and had. So when we get born again, literally we get resurrected. Our spirit comes alive and that separation is no longer there. So now we have access to purpose, security, significance, love and acceptance from God, from our relationship with God. But because we've got it from the world, we get torn. God gives it me on this side, the world on this side. So I've been used to the world, so I need to be transformed, which is what happens next, in this process, so that all the stuff that the world gives me gets removed. Because I no longer need it from the world, because I get it from God. And therefore the hurt and pain and damage can be transformed and healed. So then I can start to manifest the presence of glory around me in my life by being transfigured. That's the process. Our bodies also will be transfigured. John 7:38 says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. What is your innermost being? There are levels of it. You could say it's your heart. You could say it's your spirit. You could say it's your stomach or part of your body. In reality, your whole life is dictated to by your DNA. And God wants to deal with the roots and fruits at a deeper level, which will mean seed line cleansing, DNA changed into the image of God, DNA resequencing to restore supernatural abilities and things. I saw a news article this week, and I've since done a bit of research on the internet, and the whole human genome project now is taken on into actually researching the 97% of junk DNA, which is not junk. When I taught you it's not junk before and we can resequence it, now they've actually come out and said they've discovered this. These are where the triggers are to turn on and off certain gene patterns and pathways. And we can have that resequenced. That's what we do when we break bread and other things. John 6:32, my Father who gives the true bread out of heaven, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. When we do this, verse 50, it says, this bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Now it means not die. That's what the result is of having your DNA resequenced and back into the image of Christ. You don't have to die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Doesn't say have everlasting life, which is something separate it says in that passage. It says we can live forever. And the bread also which I give him for the life of the world is my flesh. We're going to learn what it is to actually take the bread and the blood of Jesus and see it transform our DNA and do some cleansing of our seed lines, which is some really exciting stuff. Now, this is a voluntary process of refining and purifying. If you do not volunteer, however, God will engineer circumstances around your life to give you more opportunities to volunteer. because God wants to change you. He has always destined you to be like Jesus. And where we're unwilling, he will create situations that will make us a bit more willing. You know what I mean? The atmosphere here is going to heat up. And I encourage you to be diligent and vigilant. Two words God spoke to me at the beginning of last year, really important, to be diligent. In other words, to persevere and don't give up, and to be vigilant, to be on guard, making sure that you're in this process. Pursuit is the evidence of desire. Because it's really easy to say, oh yeah, I want to be transformed. And then when the heat gets turned up and it gets really difficult, I'm not so sure. And some of you guys know what it's like in transformation. You guys are in our series and stuff are looking at dealing with your lives. It's really easy at the start. Oh yeah, 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 great, great. And then when it all starts to hit the fan, it's not as easy, is it? But God wants you to pursue the desire to be transformed. Because desire comes through discipline before it's a delight. Most of us give up on the discipline stage because we aren't committed enough to pursue it. God wants us to be disciplined to say, I want to be transformed. I want this to be a delight in my life, that I'm transformed into the image of Jesus. Okay, I finished there, but I want to make some declarations. If you want to enter this process of transformation with us, I encourage you to stand and let's make these declarations together. When it comes to stepping in, I'd encourage you to take a step in. And when it comes to stepping out, step out. So make sure you can find a place to step in. So let's make these declarations together. God, I thank you for your presence in my life. I open the gate of first love and invite you into my spirit. I invite you to activate my spiritual senses and flow through me. Jesus, I surrender control of my life to your lordship. You are Lord of my life. I choose to be a bond servant. Train me as a good steward so I can be your friend. I step into your presence. I receive robes of righteousness. I present myself before your altar to you, my high priest, as a living sacrifice. Transform me into the image of Jesus from the inside out. Renew my mind, heal my emotions, restore my conscience, cleanse my imagination, direct my will. Train my senses to hear your voice, know your heart, see your vision, be directed by your peace. Cleanse my bloodline and seed line, transform my DNA. I step back into this realm, manifest your kingdom rule through me to the world around me. I choose as an ambassador of heaven to administer the rule of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I choose to follow my eternal destiny into lordship, kingship, and sonship. Display me as a son of light on the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pursue that whole thing of transformation.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R. Where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.